Welcome to the newly named Beyond the Bar podcast. After now month singular of debate of what we're going to call this thing, the lovely Mego Thompson shot us a comment last week and said we should do Beyond the Bar as the name of our podcast. So it got the seal of approval all around, that's what we're going with. So we made the decision.
Sounds good. They said
tough decisions. You should give yourself 2 minutes to make them. We took a month, but we made the final decision in 2 minutes. So we're back. This is coming at you, or this is Wednesday. We're recording this on Wednesday, July the 3rd, and it's probably been going out on Monday, July the 8th. So we can, we don't miss all you guys that are on vacation and are out for the July 4th holiday. So I've got my co-host here, Mr. Aaron Davis.
How's it going?
Aaron's here. And then our guest of honor today is the one and only nine-time national champion.
Eight-time. Hopefully nine after a couple weeks.
I thought you were going for 10. You told me you were going for 10.
I am going for 10.
It's going to take 2 years. So eight-time national champion, soon to be nine-time national champion, Olympic weightlifter, Chad Vaughn. You guys know him. You love him. Wednesday. She gets to spend your Wednesday evenings with him. Hopefully you do. If you're smart, you do.
That's right.
So we're going to be talking to Chad a little bit later, and he's going to tell us about some exciting stuff that he's got going on, and we're just going to chat a little bit about all things that are CrossFit, Olympic weightlifting, and strength and conditioning, and gym.
All things beyond the bar.
There we go. Look at this guy. See, this is already, it's already catching on. A couple of announcements before we get started. We've got the new training cycle that's starting this week. Okay, it'll be 8 weeks. Yours truly, Wes Kimball here, is going to be your programmer for the next 8 weeks. We got some fun stuff in store. I'm going to give a little bit of a breakdown of some of the stuff that we're doing on the website on Monday. So look forward to that. We're finishing up our testing cycle here. Everybody that's we're finishing up, today's Wednesday, so finishing up with the VO2 max 2400 meter run. Aaron posted a really, really nice article giving you some context in terms of why that's a good test and kind of what we're looking for. So if you haven't read that article yet, go back, take a look, and check it out. Other things, we've got a clean Coach Thomas Lohr is teaching a clean skill session on Saturday, July the 13th. If you're struggling with your cleans, or if you need some, just a few more tips on that stuff, he's going to spend an hour with everybody on solely on the clean and ways to improve that and make it better. And then also more Olympic weightlifting news. It's Olympic weightlifting all the time right now.
Except for the 2400 meter test.
Except for the running test. We have our actual club team and club program that's starting. So starting today, this morning at 6:30, we'll start. We've got Thomas is going to be doing a weightlifting class at 6:30 a.m. on Mondays. And then Chad still has all his classes noon, 4, 5, 6, and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. And if you want to just do solely Olympic weightlifting, we're going to have a program to follow, and we'll have a beginner program and a meet program. And the beginner or the meet program is going to be designed to get prepped for Chad's weightlifting meet in October, and it coincides with the big Barbells for Boo event that they always do. So that's always a really fun event. I did it last year. I did the Barbells for Boo, but did Grace, and this year I'm definitely doing the weightlifting meet. And that's going to be on October, the weekend of October 5th and 6th. So the program will be getting folks prepped for that as kind of a pre-meet to for anybody that wants to qualify for the American Open. that'd be a great place to do it. So that's about it in terms of my announcements. Do you have anything, Aaron, that you can think of?
No, blank slate. Right
blank now. Slate, yeah. Good.
Yeah, good to go.
Just sleeveless slate, right?
Yeah, man. Just showed off the guns.
Yeah, today. Aaron's just over there rocking the guns. Yeah. Just tank top city today for him.
It should be a video, not a radio.
Sun's out, guns out. 4th of July. America, baby. So, yeah, that's it. That's what we're going to do. So, without any further ado, Mr. Chad Vaughn is going to be with us. And so, Chad, you've got a pretty interesting story in terms of your history as more as an athlete. Can you give us kind of just a basic overview of when you got started with Olympic weightlifting, what that, you know, kind of what your journey was leading into being a two-time Olympian and competing in the Athens Games and the Beijing Games?
Yeah, well, the really short version, because I can sit here and talk all day.
We got plenty of time. We're only 6 minutes in, Chad. we got airspace to fill.
Yeah. So, the short version is I was from a really small town in Oklahoma. Yes, it's mm-hmm. called Kanawha, about 1,500 people. And so I was lucky enough to have a young strength coach move in my sophomore year, and he was just young enough to be open enough to the Olympic lifts, and as he was learning them on his own, he was teaching them to us, and so we kind of did them off and on, for football through my sophomore and junior year, and then after football season, my senior year, I started stepping it up a little bit, and he had gotten better at teaching them to us, and I kept getting better and better, and he wanted to take me to a competition, and so we went to the Texas State Championships that year, and I won my very first competition and met the guys from Spoon Barbell Club, who I still live for today, and the coach Richard Fleming took me under his wing and was telling me all these crazy things. I thought they were crazy in the beginning, that I could do a lot of big things, and he even threw out the word Olympics in there, and of course I didn't believe that in the beginning, but I just really enjoyed lifting, and I was getting better and better, and so right there under my parents' carport for the first 2 years after high school, I lifted on a platform that I leveled and re-leveled with gravel, and I got really strong and just kept getting better and better, and by the time really 2003 rolled around, I finally realized that, man, I was actually in a really good position and could actually make the Olympic team in 2004, and so I went ahead and did that, and was able to keep going and make it again in 2008. So
nice. Tell us a little bit about that. So when you were growing up, right? So you started when you were a sophomore in high school. Were you like lifting with other people? Like, were you doing that with other kids, or was it just you and your carport and grinding it out?
Well, from the time I was my sophomore through my senior year, we were, doing it just for football. So we were with, all the kids that were in the program for that. And mm-hmm. then, right after high school, I just took it upon myself. I liked it, and I kept going. And it was just me.
Yeah.
Just me underneath the carport. And I'm sure everybody driving by was wondering what the heck I was doing, but yeah.
Give me an idea in terms of like a training day, like early on in your career. Like, what would a day in Chad Vaughn when you were 20 years old training for the Olympics look like?
Well, I tell you, I mean, we kind of slowly stepped it up from the time right after I graduated all the way through that next year. And by the time I was a year later, I was 19, mm-hmm. I was probably doing more volume there than I've ever done. And, a competition phase, for example, was I was doing 9 or 10 workouts a week, and they were all pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. Most of them were going to a max in the snatch and clean and jerk and front squat, and then there were a few days trickled in there where we went a little bit lighter. And when I say a little bit lighter, like 90%, which was a light day.
Yeah.
But it was all relative to what you could do on that given day, and when you're going heavy that regularly. You can't really say I'm going to hit my best lift every day. Though at 19, every now and then you go in there, or I would go in there and hit a PR. So, you know, it's not a training program that I recommend for most people, not at all. Mm-hmm. But because of my age and just that, you know, just the things that we're trying in training at that time, that's what it looked like at that time.
And would you say, like, how long would, like, that session, like you said, 9 to 10 a week, so that's about 2 a days, almost twice a day, if you're basing it off, like, a five-day week. Like, how long would each session be, basically?
The long ones would be, you know, 2.5 hours, and on the short end, maybe an hour, hour and a half. You know, there were some to where, I mean, we did different things, but there were some to where I would start with a max snatch, you know, rest 10 minutes or so, max clean and jerk, rest, max front squat. And then why not? Let's go back and do another max clean and jerk after the front squat, and then let's do a max snatch again at the very end. So we just kind of did different things like that and played with it. And those types of things you can get away with when you're that age. Yeah.
Now, would you spend a lot of that, like, training time focused on technique stuff too, or was it? I mean, it sounds like a lot of it was just like just going, right? Just going for it.
Yeah, at that point, it was just going for it, and you know, in different cycles and different programs, we obviously did a lot of what I call position strength exercise, which is just reinforcing movement, proper movement in positions, and then taking that into that more of a competition phase. Yeah. Okay.
I just feel like it's fascinating that, you know, when you look at the work that elite level athletes do and the time spent on, and for you, something as simple, or not as simple, but as there's two lifts, right? A snatch and a clean and jerk. Three lifts if you want to call the clean and jerk two lifts, right? And spending basically, 5 hours a day just focusing solely on those two things. How would you say that, you know, like, so I guess the question, twofold question, how long were you able to maintain that, like, volume of training as an athlete, and where did you find out that you kind of had to maybe taper it down a little bit? Was, you know, were you able to maintain it 3, 4, 5 years, or was it more like these were like the big years, and then you kind of cycled off of it?
Yeah, those were kind of the big years. I think as I went on, I started, I would say, training a little bit smarter. You know, as you go, you kind of have to, as you start to reach your peak. And then, so I did a lot of the same stuff as I got up around, you know, 22 and 23. But it was, you know, like I say, I just played more tricks. I would still go heavy on a regular basis, but it was more like, hey, let's do a medium heavy day, follow that with a heavy max day, and then follow that with a light day. And again, when I say light day, now I'm talking about like 80%, 85 instead of 90, 95, and 100. And then, you know, repeat that at the end of the week. And so it became like six to eight sessions instead of, you know, 9 or 10 or whatever it was. And then, you know, playing with percentages a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, with the, you know, a lot of the elite athletes and stuff that I've mentioned or I've seen and stuff, that the one thing about them is that they're always training. They're always on this grind, you know. I know people see you in the CrossFit world. They see you in the videos and stuff. And, you know, I think sometimes they think, oh, well, yeah, I can do that, right? But realizing that you started so young and you put so many hours in, what was, like, the one thing, I mean, that just kind of kept you with it? Obviously, you love the sport, but, I mean, there has to be something else to keep that longevity. I mean, you're going for, what, 9 now for the national? I mean, that's huge, man. I guess what was the one thing, I guess, even starting then, and has that evolved? Like, your motivation, has it evolved as you've gotten older?
I think it is. It has evolved. I mean, it's really hard to pinpoint. I think everybody that you ask that, every elite athlete, it's going to be different. I think most of them are going to have a hard time really pinpointing, man, what was it? Why did I do that? You know, why did I keep going? I think it all comes down to, especially in the beginning, I think most everybody had somebody believing in them, you know. And so that coach that I met from Swing Barbell Club, Richard Fleming, man, he said it enough times that he made me believe it. And I really attribute him to keeping me going. But in the beginning, it's definitely about chasing a dream and just the competitive nature that I think we all have inside of us somewhere. To in the beginning be, you know, improve yourself and then be the best. And then it becomes like, especially now, it's evolved all the way from that to just being the best that I can be as an individual in anything that I do. Rather, it's not really so much about beating somebody anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong, it is. I'm gonna do everything I can to win at the national championships.
You got to beat somebody to win, right?
You got to beat somebody. But it's about, you know, being the best that I can be and lifting, finding a way to lift the most that I can on that day. And seeing, you know, now at the age of 33, man, can I, with all the different things that I'm learning through the CrossFit community and everywhere else, I mean, are there some tricks that I can play on myself in different programs and different things that I can do inside of a program that might even help me get back up to where I was before or maybe even a little bit beyond it, at the age that I'm at? And so to me, right now, the motivation is just experimentation and also, you know, man, what am I capable of, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So kind of working our way back, so you, like your early days, obviously you're hitting, you know, training a lot, 9-10 times a week. And then, so how old were you when you went to your first Olympics, and what was that kind of experience like?
I was 24 years old. It was in 2004, and really, like, you know, every time somebody asks me, man, you know, or they say, it must have been awesome to be at the Olympics, and don't get me wrong, it was great.
Yeah.
Looking back, in the moment, it was just another meet. I mean, it's at some point along the way, like I say, for me, it was like in 2003 where that switch went off in my head. I said, I can do this. I committed myself to it, and I made it happen. And so at that point, it became, yeah, it was a huge deal, but it wasn't as big of a deal, you know, mm-hmm. anymore, because it was just, how do I train for this competition, and how do I get the most out of myself while I'm there? And so it was a great experience, but at the same time, it was just another meet. Now, what's really cool now is that when I look back on it and see all the lessons that I learned in 2004 and in 2008 at the Olympic Games, and I think about the people that I met and the time that I spent in those countries and the things that I did, you know, that's priceless. It's that's worth more than anything, you know.
Yeah. How do they compare? Like, if you're gonna say, you know, Athens, you know, 2004, 2008, Beijing, you know, what are some things that stand out about the two different, you know, the two different experiences for you?
I think the things that stand out are the lessons that I learned as an athlete. I think that for a lot of people, or for some athletes, I think, you know, maybe they freak out a little bit, you know, mentally, and so that kind of drags their performance down. I think others kind of thrive at that competition, and they're able to bring out their best performances. And then other people, I think they not so much freak out there at the competition, but they freak out in their training. And I would say that that's more what I did, is I freaked out in training before 2004 and before 2008. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I made the teams. And so I just, what I did in 2004 is I just went right back into training, you know, balls to the wall, actually changed my training, did more, you know. And in reality, really all I needed to do was just get recovered first, which I didn't do, get recovered and then do what got me there.
Yeah.
You know, and that would have allowed me to put in better performances. And I thought I had learned my lessons in 2004, and then in 2008 I kind of did some things. Looking back, it's easy to see what I did wrong, but did some things wrong that were a little bit different. And so my best performances weren't at the Olympic Games, for those reasons. But the things that I really remember other than that are just, you know, getting to be around all those high-level athletes from all the different sports and sports and seeing what we had in common and what was different, and just being able to hang out with those different sports and those different countries in Athens. I mean, after I was done, I was over there for like a week, and I just remember, you know, being on the public transportation and just going everywhere, you know, and seeing all those things. So, yeah, great experiences in so many ways, but not always what people think, you know.
Right, right.
So what was the, you know, we always hear about the Olympics, and I know it's like, you know, feats of strength and speed and everything else, but how was the Olympic parties like? Okay, I mean, I want to know. I mean, everybody talks about that. You know, it's like, is it a good vibe out there? I mean, like, it seems like everybody goes crazy after they get done competing.
Yeah, they do. I didn't really get into any of the, too much of the partying. Actually, one thing that I really remember in 2004 is that the agency that was over there with us, protecting us, following us around and everything, they were in the same dorm that we were, and they were actually right next door. And so I remember hanging out with them afterwards and playing cards and having a few beers, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, we're all here having a few beers. Where are your other guys? You know, yeah. Is there anybody else keeping an eye on us right now? So that was pretty cool. But absolutely, I mean, I can tell you that I'm sure that things got really, really crazy, and I know from a lot of the other competitions that I went to that, you know, we spent so much time being good because, you know, that's what we have to do to get the most out of ourselves, that once everything is all said and done, it's, you know, those high-level athletes can go a little bit crazy.
Well, you touched on it a little bit when you were talking about your Olympic experience, but, you know, that said, you've won 8 national championships. You've competed at how many world championships?
About that many.
About 8 world championships. Yeah, so, yeah. And then, you know, to qualify for the Olympic Games, you have to perform very well at the world championships, obviously, over the course of every year. So give the listeners a little insight in terms of, like, how you prepare for a big meet or a big competition like that. What are some of the things that you feel like you have to, like, do and be ready for?
So I think it, yeah, like you said, I touched on it a little bit, but I think what it comes down to in the moment is, so you have your qualifying event and you qualify. And so in weightlifting, those qualifiers aren't going to be that far away from, you know, probably as much as, probably no more than like 3 months, you know, 3, maybe 4 months. Sometimes they're only like a month or a month and a half away from the actual competition. So I think the first priority, and again, these are lessons learned the hard way. The first priority is getting recovered, because to qualify for a big competition, to make a world team, especially to make an Olympic team, it's really, really emotional. And it's not that the competition that you went through takes a lot out of you physically. No, it's actually a competition is, in every sport will tell you, this is easier than any training session that you'll ever do.
Right.
You know, but because you're putting out extra adrenaline and extra effort emotionally and mentally and everything else, you really got to step out of that and go light for a certain amount of time and get recovering. And so, you know, the people that I work with now, after any competition, I mean, they're like, no, let's go. I feel good. I'm like, well, you think that, but no, you don't. You listen to me, you know?
Yeah.
Let's back off and let's recover. And then it's about what got you there, because what got you there is pretty recent, and just go back and revisit it, because yeah, there's a world of things that you can do, and there's so many different ways that you can get the work in that you need, but if we're going to step out and try something different and experiment, that's not the time for it, mm-hmm. You know? We have plenty of time to do that, and let's go back to what has recently worked for us and do that. And I think that's probably the most, those two things are the biggest mistakes that I made going into the Olympics, and I think it's, you know, everybody should pay attention to those. Yeah.
I feel like you're the most humble person on the planet, Chad. The only guy that has 8 national championships in Olympic weightlifting, and all he can talk about is the things that he did wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
What are some of the things that, what are some, but like on, seriously though, what are some things that you're like, this is something that I did that nobody else would do, and that put me where I'm at today, or that put me in a, set me up for success in those,
separate you from everything.
Yeah.
I think the best thing that I did, understand that I I mean, I had that coach in the beginning, and he actually has helped me all the way through. But I started writing my own program in, I think, about 2002. So I've been doing that for a long while now. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I made a lot of mistakes there as well. But I actually got really good at that, you know, programming for myself, and it's made me a better coach. But I would say that the thing that I did better than anybody, if there's, you know, people look at my accomplishments and they think I'm really talented physically, and I'm actually not. I mean, I was born with a club foot. And I've, you know, my right calf is about half the size of my left. I have less strength and flexibility on that side. So the talent that I have is just being relentless and sticking with things and to the point of annoyance, you know. And so I think that that's you know, a quote that I found early in my career that stuck with me all these years, and I think about it on a regular basis, is success is largely a matter of holding on after others have let go. And so if there's something that you want to do, it doesn't matter what it is, you're going to have to stick with it, you know. And I've seen so many people that were literally a lot stronger than me. And we're talking about just overall strength, squat strength, deadlift strength, that just come and go, you know, and I outlasted them. And that's why I'm the one that came out on top, you know, national champion 8 times now. And so I think the biggest thing is just sticking with it, whatever your goals or your ambitions are, and just, you know, if things aren't going your way, then reevaluate it and try something different maybe, but get right back at it and keep going. As far as training-wise, the things that I feel like I did right, and this was, we started doing this from the very beginning with my coach Richard, we just did a lot of work, you know. And I told you about the times where we did, you know, the heavy snatch, clean and jerk, and front squat. But there are most of the other times we were getting in a lot of squats and a lot of deadlifts and a lot of Romanian deadlifts, and that really created the big base for me, and allowed me. I think that's one thing that I had over a lot of people was in Olympic lifting, and it's still out there today, is that all they do is, you know, heavy snatch, heavy clean and jerk, and heavy front squat. And if you look at the people in the U.S. in particular that are on top and have been on top for a while, I would say that on the male side, Kendrick Ferris and I, you know, obviously we were the two that were on the top. That we were the two that made the Olympic team in 2008, and we were both, honestly, I mean, I don't want to offend any of the other top lifters, but we were kind of above and beyond. Mm-hmm. Most everybody else there for a while, and if you look at his training program, there is a lot of high rep squats, deadlifts, and Romanian deadlifts and stuff like that, and his strength level is just above and beyond everybody, just ridiculous. And so I think there's something to be said for just, there's a million ways to get the work in, and the easiest way to get work in squat and deadlifts is to do 10s, you know, do 10s or do a lot of set of 5s, and I've even done a lot of 20 rep squats throughout my career, and revisit them, you know, every, you know, back then, especially every 3 to 6 months, we would do 20 rep squats for 3 to 6 weeks at a time, and it's terrible,
yeah.
Terrible, but, you know, you have to get the work in some kind of way, and I think that's what I had, and now learning so much stuff from the CrossFit community, and I've learned a lot from watching my wife, because she's gotten better at Olympic lifting now at the age of 33, lifting more weight than she ever has. And she's done that because she's gotten a lot of extra upper body and core work in. And so a lot of the guys that are stronger than me, legs, if they didn't have that football background, for example, where they actually did some bench presses and stuff like that, then they are lacking in the core and the upper body and not as strong overhead. And then I see that in the females too, but that's something that I had that background and also did throughout my career, was I did a lot of pausing and holding, man. And I think that's what a lot of people miss out on that. And what I mean by that is I would do a lot of pause squats, and I make people pause all yeah. the time. I did a lot of, at least brief holds, in certain positions, throughout the lift. And another big one that I think that I did that most other people don't do is I would do a lot of heavy overload front quarter squats, and after like a set of 5, I would just stand there and hold it, you know, for 10 seconds. And when I say overload, I mean 100 to 120 or 130% of what I could clean and jerk. So up to a really heavy weight and just getting used to holding that in that front rack position, getting really strong at that transition point, at that end point. And I did the same thing for overhead. I did a lot of heavy overhead quarter squats, again, doing about 5 reps and then just standing there and holding it for, 10 to 15 seconds. And I used to do those, both of those, in certain phases, like twice a week, mm-hmm. And so I was really used to holding heavy weight and comfortable with it. And what I got out of that was a lot of extra core work. I mean, it takes a lot of core strength to be able to hold those heavy weights in those positions,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember Chad put together a program for me in 2010 to prep for the Arnolds. The best I've ever – I feel like my weightlifting career has gone slightly downhill from there, although I'm trying to get back into it. But I remember we did a ton of quarter and overhead and front squats like holding it on a box, and it's the most ridiculous core work you've ever done. I mean, it's just your abs are completely on fire, and you just have to like stabilize in that position, or it's kind of like real world consequences. If you don't keep yourself tight, you're about to shoot some lumbar spines out the back, right? But that said, it was great stuff, and I feel like for me, that's one of my biggest weaknesses has always been through my midsection, core, low back, as we all saw me walking around the other day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You mentioned going in the CrossFit world and absorbing some of the stuff, and you mentioned just a little bit, but what specifically have you seen or that you are adapting into maybe some stuff from the CrossFit world into maybe your own training or the training of the athletes that you oversee?
Yeah, really the biggest example that I can tell you right now that I think is just huge for weightlifters and just anybody that wants to get stronger and more powerful. I've been experimenting a lot with EMOMs, and so, what I'll do on those right now, I'll do, anywhere from a 10 to a 20-minute EMOM, and usually a 20-minute EMOM, especially for strength, and I'll mix that, it'll be alternating, so like on the first minute, for example, I'll do like a pretty heavy set of 2 to 3 reps, usually like to stay at 3, and I'll tell you why on that here in a minute, but a heavy set of 3, and then on the second minute, I'll do like 20 to even up to 40 double unders, or I'll do like anywhere from 3 high box jumps to 10 low box jumps, just depending on where I'm at in the cycle and all that stuff. And I'll go back and forth for 20 minutes. And so if you're doing 3 reps at a time, that ends up being 30 heavy reps, And that's why I like to keep it at 3, because any squat program, the best squat programs that I've ever done on the heavy days have 30 total reps in them. So whether that's 3 sets of 10 or 6 sets of 5 or however you can get 30, that's the best programs that I've found. But just first of all, mixing them together like that, especially if you're talking about doing a front squat or a deadlift. And when I say deadlift, I mean clean deadlift with like a light, powerful box jump. I think it's huge, and just, you have that heavy, slower movement and you're mixing it with that faster, more powerful movement. And not only that, but if you're talking about doing, that ends up being 10 sets of 3 is great. And actually, Mike Bergner has a squat program where you do 10 sets of 3 for a lot of weeks, and it's a great program. The biggest thing that I take, one of the biggest things that I take from CrossFit is intensity, and intensity creates results. And so if I do 10 sets of 3 like a normal weightlifter, I'm going to rest 5 to 6 minutes between sets. If I do 10 sets of 3 this way, I'm only going to get, not even 2 minutes of rest, and I have something in between. And so it becomes a lot more intense. And for that reason, I think that if we're talking about Olympic lifters, if we can get them a little bit of breathing ability enough to where they can do stuff like EMOMs and be able to recover better from them, I think they're going to benefit a whole lot. And then you can take that into doing some of your snatches and clean and jerks that way as well.
Cool. Yeah. it's almost like complex training in a sense where you are overloading the system with a heavier thing and then going back to a fast movement, therefore training the central nervous system to be more explosive. And for somebody like yourself, I mean, obviously that's going to be huge. The turnover is going to be huge.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's interesting to even like think of it in the sense of that. I mean, obviously through your training volume, you probably can get away with it in a sense where we probably have to go like a 5 minute, you know, and split the 5 minutes up. I mean, 10 minutes like heavy for some of the people would probably be crazy. But no, that's interesting. It's awesome. That's good
stuff. No, it is very interesting, and it's exciting to me too because I know that there's not anybody else out there experimenting with these things. I mean, and I'm talking about specifically for Olympic lifting, and you know, one of the goals of mine is to take this into every sport because, you know, like I said, my wife is lifting more than she ever has. And so she was an elite lifter. She was the alternate on the Olympic team in 2004. And so there are holes in every sport, you know, and if we can use CrossFit or whatever you want to call it, I mean, that, you know, everybody has their own name for it. If we can use that to recognize the holes that each individual athlete has and then use it to fill in those holes and they're become a more complete athlete, they're going to do better in whatever sport that they choose to compete in. And to me, that's huge. And not only for, like I say, not only for weightlifting, but for everything.
See, that's interesting because it seems like from the track and field world, you know, I've always studied like sprinters or distance runners, and we've always been big on general strength work. And obviously CrossFit's very much general strength work. But we've had these kind of different worlds always going into the track and field world in the sense of Olympic weightlifting. Like, they're huge now, and it has been since LSU started in the 90s of having Olympic weightlifting on 3 days a week. But the foundation of that is doing tons of general strength work. They might be doing circuits of 20 minutes of push-ups, sit-ups, you know, handstand walks, stuff like that, single-leg squats, you know, things like that. And that's building their athletes, and they found that when they peak, they can hold peaks for longer. Their athletes don't get as injured. So it's interesting that, you know, because I'm sure Olympic weightlifting, they probably don't do a lot of the small stabilizer muscles, exercises, push-ups, stuff like that. You're very specific into the exercises. So it's neat to see you broaden it a little bit to more general, bringing back to specific. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that I think is a problem in every sport. And obviously Olympic lifting is what I do. So I see that so much. And people just getting way too specific. And there's, you know, so many weightlifting coaches out there now, like, you know, that'll tell athletes, man, all we need is snatch and clean and jerk and front squat. If you're doing anything other than that, you're wasting your time, you know. And so we can get way too specific in every sport. And I think we need to branch outside of that, you know, like I say, to make ourselves, make sure that we're as complete as we can be. I mean, for example, if you're trying to be an elite athlete in any sport, I mean, we'll take, again, weightlifting, for example. If you can't just sprint for a minute in something, I feel like there's probably a hole there, you know?
Yeah.
And it was only probably in the last 6 months to where I developed the ability to sprint in anything for a minute. It's hard, don't be wrong. I mean,
sure.
But, you know, for me to be able to do burpees as fast as I possibly can, for example, for 1 minute straight, that was like a big breakthrough for me. I was like, oh man, I never thought I would be able to do that. You know? But I don't think that somebody developing the ability to do that for 1 minute is going to take anything away from what they're trying to accomplish in Olympic lifting, for example. To me, it's only going to fill in a hole and make them better overall.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think that, this, like you said, it goes for everything, but there's a broad scope of physical abilities that are going to, on the surface, may not seem like they would improve or help something else. And like, people fall into the trap. You know, we even see it with CrossFit, right? Like, people don't want to do ancillary work. They just want to do the WOD, do WODs, 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 WODs. And that's very specific, and that's good. Like, you have to do that specific work to get better, just like you have to clean and jerk and snatch and front squat to get better. But as you, like, take your understanding to a little bit of a higher level, you realize that this general stuff that doesn't necessarily look exactly the same or has, you know, that kind
it's
of
not sexy.
Yeah, that comes out on the periphery is gonna help you become a more well-rounded athlete. And the more well-rounded of an athlete that you are, whether that's energy system work, whether that's general prep stuff, whether that's, you know, flexibility or mobility work, it's all going to spill back into your athletic pot to help you do what you do, whatever your chosen sport is, better. And, you know, neglecting that is a mistake that I feel like we see a lot of athletes make, especially people relatively early, you know. But so I think that's a great point for folks out there that don't neglect the stuff that doesn't that looks a little different than what your sport is. Right?
I just want to tie that back into what we were talking about before. You know, you asked me what I felt like I did right, and I was talking about the holds that I was doing. And so in the moment, I was doing them, and I was doing them from a very young age all the way through my career. All I cared about is that I was just overloading my position, that I was overloading. I wanted to have insurance that I could do a heavy clean and sit there and breathe for a big couple breaths and then still have the ability to jerk it if that clean was off and if it was a little bit heavy to stand up with. So without really realizing completely what I was doing, and again, I was doing these things that were most people weren't doing, and I don't know if really anybody else was doing them. And looking back now, I realize what I did is I stepped outside of the general, and that's, you know, like I said before, I feel like that's one big thing that I had over a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. Well, kind of wrapping things up a little bit here, you know, I think for the most part we've talked about Chad Vaughn as an athlete, and, you know, for a lot of your life you have been an athlete. What is the transition from athlete to coach? What is that? I know the last probably, 4 or 5 years that you've really transitioned over to not only be an athlete, but, you know, you own CrossFit Syntex up in Belton. You coach folks here at CrossFit Austin. You have your own seminars that you do where you go around and you teach different folks. How is that process? And how's, like, what are the differences that you've seen that you've made? Cause I even remember at one time you told me, you're like, I don't want to be a coach. Yeah. Right. So how's that evolution been like for you?
Yeah, it's really been awesome. And I feel like I really found my place, at least for now, because, like, you know, actually CrossFit Austin, Wes, you were the first gym to let me come in and do, well, actually, I mean, the only other gym I've ever done weightlifting classes at is CrossFit Syntex and CrossFit Georgetown a little bit, but, you know, you were the first one to give me a job and to give me a chance, and you didn't know if I could coach. I mean, you know,
I knew you were an Olympian, though.
Ursula and Jody and I started doing seminars, and it started off with me and Jody, you know, doing demos, and we would help adjust people, and Ursula, as she likes to do, talk. She did all the talking. I really didn't have any idea what I would be like as a coach, and I never wanted to be a coach. I actually wanted to be completely away from it until CrossFit came around. And I tell you, once I that from that very first seminar and the very first few people that I worked with here, man, it just came really natural to me. And I would say that, like I talked about earlier, you know, not being that physically talented and having to work really hard to accomplish the things that I did in weightlifting, because of that, I mean, it made me a better coach. And I think that I have probably more of a talent as a coach than I actually did as a lifter. And I think that's especially the longer I go now, 3.5 years now, the more I realize that, and the more I pick up, and I think I just, you know, continue to get more knowledge through the CrossFit community and try to make myself better and better. And so the transition has been awesome. It's been eye-opening, and you know, my hope is I just want to keep getting better as a coach, keep getting in more information, keep being able to relate, you know, the Olympic lifts to whatever anybody else does more and more, and just keep building more resources for people, because the Olympic lifts are so difficult. I mean, and I hear it all the time. Never fails. Oh, I'm so good at everything else, but I suck at the Olympic lifts. You know? Yeah. Well, you're not the first person to tell me that. I know that.
Welcome to the CrossFit community.
Right. Welcome to the CrossFit community and gymnastics. You know, a lot of people struggle with gymnastics as well. But so I just, you know, beyond the seminar, I think my seminar it continues to evolve, and it's gotten better and better. And I think it's a great place for people to go. But there's got to be something after that, because it takes more than just a seminar. It takes more than just a 1 day a week weightlifting class. It really does. I mean, people are going to have to step out on their own and you know, fill in a lot of the voids on their own and learn and help themselves become better. And so my goal is just to stay on top of everything and to create more and more resources through articles, through videos, and everything else, you know. So
absolutely. Well, I guess to close things up completely, last week we asked Amy last week, what are three things, if you had to give everybody, you know, just the general person, the general CrossFit Austiner, right, that's hanging out and training with us, training hard, coming in regularly 3, 4, 5 times a week, what are the top three things that you see as things that they can do to make them better at Olympic weightlifting?
I have 4 keys. Can I do 4?
You can do 4. I prefer 3, but I'll let you do 4.
I'll leave it in explain. I can talk about this. You know, I've come up with 4 keys, and I go over them in every seminar that I do. I've even written an article over it right now. And the first one is, you know, you've got to get comfortable in the bottom position of your squat. With your body weight and then with a bar in your front rack position and then with the bar locked out over your head. And so you have to pay attention to that. For you to be anywhere near comfortable, you have to be flexible. So don't neglect that. Don't try to step beyond that and say, hey, let me really work on the pull. And yeah, you need to work on the pull and everything else. And that comes with being good at the Olympic lifts too. But if your bottom position is locked up or just non-existent right now, you've got to spend some time on that. And for some people, it's a lot of time. I really want people to understand that this is a process that takes years, you know, for you to really be the best that you can be at Olympic lifting. And it's different amounts of time for different people. But I've almost gotten to the point to where I just want to be bluntly honest with people, like, that come in and they're like,
do it.
Man, I want, yeah. And I am, but yeah. You know, I want to do this and this and this. And I almost like want to give every individual a time frame, like, hey, this is going to take it for you at least 6 months, for you at least 3 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it just really depends on the person, but everybody has to accomplish that first step. And then the next thing that they need to do is Romanian deadlifts, man. I mean, they're huge. And I think that's another exercise that I did a lot of that I think a lot of people neglected. They were, you know, most lifters, again, snatch, clean and jerk and front squat. And maybe snatch and clean deadlift, but if you're not exaggerating that position in with the movement of the Romanian deadlift, then I think you're missing out on a whole lot of insurance that you can have to create the best positions and to maintain tension in your back and in your body throughout the rest of the lift. And another one is that just learning to clear your head and have only a couple things in your head especially as you're performing the entire lift. You know, you're doing a full snatch from a floor. I promise you there's about 20 or 30 things that you need to accomplish, you know, and we have to, our coaches have to learn to help people simplify that down, but you also have to practice that concept on your own. And what that means is picking out 2 or 3 cues that you can fill your head with and accomplish to help you get through the lifts, and not only the lifts, but pretty much every other movement that we do in CrossFit. Another big one, the fourth big one that I go over is just, especially for CrossFitters, because we get in class and it's 3, 2, 1, go, and you're moving as fast as you can and everything else, and that's all well and good, but just slow yourself down a little bit. You know, slow yourself down when you're setting yourself up from the floor, when you're setting yourself up, if you're doing a hang snatch or a hang clean. Just really take your time getting down to that position, hold it briefly, and go from there. Don't be in such a hurry to get down and to come out of all your positions. And that's going to really speed up the process of your muscle, building your muscle memory for the better positions and helping you get a little bit of extra work at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I think that you could take any athlete in anything they do and have them just clear their head, slow down a little bit, makes a world of difference. Awesome. Well, Chad, thanks for joining us. We're lucky enough that we get to see you at least once a week. We wish it could be more, but we understand, right? You know, tell us some places that we can get a hold of you. Obviously, you've got the seminar that you're doing, and we're actually in the works. We've September 7th?
September 7th and 8th. I think we've just confirmed everything on my end, on your end, and on Dave Durante's end. He's if you guys don't know him, he was the alternate on the 2008 Olympic team. He's actually over in Beijing, so he's considered part of the team. And he was the national champion in 2007, gymnastics.
Yeah.
And so he's been in the CrossFit community for a couple years now, but he's just now starting to do his own seminar. And him and I have teamed up a couple times now, and we plan to team up now and then on a combo weightlifting and gymnastics seminar. And I think it's going to be really big. It's a great event. We've already learned so much from working with each other before on just how well gymnastics and weightlifting overlap, you know, especially if people are doing things right in both of them. At the same time, you know, a big thing that we go over is that, you know, if you're doing everything right in weightlifting but doing a lot of things wrong in gymnastics, and you're just working against yourself for weightlifting and vice versa. And so if we, you know, we can overlap those and relate those within the seminar, and it's going to be a great, great learning weekend. I mean, for weightlifting, gymnastics, and just, you know, with those two combined, just the two hardest things that we do in CrossFit, and just for any CrossFitter that's interested in getting better. And so it's that, and then I've always got my weightlifting classes here on Wednesdays, and you can see me, a lot of my videos or all my videos on my YouTube channel, Vaughn Weightlifting. I finally stopped being lazy and created a Vaughn Weightlifting Facebook page, which, nice. which should have been created about 2 or 3 years ago. And I think my wife Jody finally got tired of it, and we actually signed on a barbell last week, and she said you've got to open up a Facebook page because it's going to be the Vaughn Weightlifting Bar, and so we're excited about that as well. Hope people we're a couple months from that coming out, so we're looking forward to that as well.
I'm excited to outfit the small gym with all Vaughn weightlifting equipment.
That's right.
From
that's
French right. Sport. So, yeah, that's right. So yeah, we're super pumped about that. I feel like you and David's seminar should just be like, the title should be "Learn the Stuff You Suck At."
It could be.
Right? So you get to learn how to Olympic weightlift from a 2-time Olympian, and you get to learn gymnastics from an Olympian. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer to me.
I mean,
quit complaining about not being good at Olympic weightlifting and gymnastics, and come do something about
that's right.
Yeah.
If you don't want to suck at life, then come do that.
Oh, man. Well, awesome, Chad. Thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully you'll we know where you're at on Wednesdays at least, so say we'll do this again sometime.
Sounds good.
All right, man. All right, guys. Have a good one.